Luke chapter 12, if you'd like to turn there, we'll have a Bible reading. Luke chapter 12, and we read verses 1 to 9. I got on late, so if we go over time, we'll know why. Luke chapter 12, and I'd like to read verses 1 to 7, I think it is. Starting at verse 1, it says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And let's come before the Lord and ask his blessing to be upon us. Father, we want to thank you that we can come and listen to your words. And as we read there, there was a time when people, an innumerable amount of people, so much so that they trod one upon another, would come to hear the words of the Messiah. And Lord, it's sad that that is not the case today. But Lord, Father, we are here to hear your words. And we pray that your Spirit may work in and amongst us and encourage us, teach us, and challenge us, we pray, as you see fit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a number of weeks ago, when I preached last time on a Sunday evening, I looked at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. And I entitled that, "The Truth Will Be Revealed." And that was looking at the truth being revealed in a negative sense in regards to the Pharisees. And we saw how the Lord tells his disciples to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, stay away from the leaven of the Pharisees. Have nothing to do with it. And we saw that the leaven was really a picture of the doctrine of the Pharisees. And we saw that the doctrine of the Pharisees was man's commandments. We saw how the Pharisees had made up man-made rules that the people were to abide by in order to help them keep God's laws. And sadly, what happened was these man-made rules became just as important as God's law to the Pharisees. And they had rules such as, even when it came to keeping the Sabbath, how you should sow or how much you can sow before you've broken the law, to tying knots and untying of knots, and what you can do there, to washing of hands and washing of pots, and so on. And these rules became heavy burdens upon the people, and the Pharisees taught that to break these rules that had been handed down from the traditions of men was actually sin, when that wasn't really the case. And so they taught the commandments of men as the doctrines of God. And Jesus told his disciples not to be fooled by these doctrines and not have anything to do with them. But then in verse 2, Jesus said this to them, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." And that had to be referring to the doctrine or the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the hypocritical life that they were living, God, Jesus said that it's going to be revealed. These things that they have hidden and they do in darkness is going to be revealed for everyone to see. And we know that that is the case. Those plans that they made against Christ and others that took place in little rooms where no one else could see and they thought that no one else would ever know, we read about them today. It was revealed to all. We know what they were like. People, when they think of the Pharisees, they think of hypocrisy. The truth was revealed in that regard. But then in verse 3, we see how what I've called the truth will prevail as well. Or you could say be revealed, but in a positive sense. It says there in verse 3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness, now he's talking to his disciples, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, if you're looking at the context, you could easily think that what the Lord is doing is warning his disciples as well, where he said the hypocrisy of the Pharisees is going to be revealed. Everyone's going to know what they've been doing. But I want you to know also the things that you say and the things that are done in darkness are going to be revealed as well. And so you better watch out also. You could actually refer to it in that way. But I don't believe that's what the Lord is talking about here. But it is something to keep in mind regardless. You know, even if that's not what the Lord is talking about, the reality is the things that we say behind closed doors, the things that we say in darkness, they will be revealed one day. Let me just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where we're told and given this exhortation where it says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. We see here that everything's going to be revealed someday. And sometimes the Lord, when there are those that are living in deception and sins, God reveals it for everyone to know, and they are chastised and judged here upon earth. But there will be those that wait till that judgment day. But those things that are done will be revealed one day. But I don't believe that's what the Lord is referring to here. You see, Jesus has just explained in verse 2 the principle, things covered will be revealed, things hid will be made known. And for the Pharisees, that was a scary thing because their deeds were evil and wrong. But in the case of the disciples, this was going to be a good thing. Jesus said that the things that they have spoken in darkness and in little rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. And this was really a promise that he was giving to them, that the things of God and the things that they had heard was going to prevail. Let me show you and explain that a little bit more. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 10, a similar thing is said in Matthew chapter 10. But we see here, this isn't talking about, you better be careful because everything that you say is going to be revealed. This is talking about the gospel and the things of God. See, in Matthew, it's nearly exactly the same, but one, we see here in Matthew, the Lord Jesus says the same thing, but he gives it as a commandment. And then in Luke, it's referred to as, I consider it a promise. It says there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak in light. All right, that's what he says to them. What I tell you in darkness, that speak in light. What does he say in Luke chapter 12? Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And then it says in verse 27 of Matthew, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. But in Luke we read it as this, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And it appears as though in Matthew what we get is Jesus tells them what he wants them to do. I want you to proclaim upon the housetops the things you hear. Things in darkness I want everyone to know. But in Luke, Jesus tells them what is going to happen. Those things that have been spoken to you are going to be revealed and proclaimed and so on. And that's exactly what happened. You know, the things that were said in that upper room, we know a lot of the things that were said in that upper room. In John, it has so many things. And so here were the disciples all by themselves with the Lord Jesus, but we have a recorded account where we can learn about it even thousands of years later. And so those things that were spoken in their ears have been proclaimed to all. You know, the things that were said in darkness, that darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane, that could be well and truly lost. But the reality is Jesus said, I will make sure that the things that are spoken in darkness to you will be revealed to all. You know, think of the many times that Jesus spoke to his 12 disciples alone. You know, when you think of 12 people, it's not really a lot. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nearly just that little group there. Now, that's before the Sixers. Now, that's not a lot of people. That's just a little group. And Jesus spoke to a little group like that in the wilderness. And then there's only 11 there. Oh, 12, yep, there's a little one. In the wilderness, just a little group like that, in upper rooms, in houses, that's not a lot of people. But we have these things recorded in the scriptures. And that has multiplied and flourished to the point that we in Australia, thousands of kilometres away, thousands of years later, we still can read and learn about what Jesus said in those times. And we see here that Jesus explains this fact to his disciples that the truth will prevail. And it certainly did. Very similar to what Gamaliel said when to the Sanhedrin, when the disciples were brought before them, and he gave those very wise words where he said, "If this be of man, it will just die out of its own accord. But if this be of God, you're not going to be able to stop it." And that was the reality. That's what took place. And what the Lord told them, they did go and preach upon the housetops. And what they spoke about and were told in darkness has been brought to light to this very day. We know that Peter preached to multitudes, over 8,000 or more. We know that Philip went and preached at Samaria to the city, and then he preached to individuals, and then he went into homes and preached as well. We know the Apostle Paul went throughout all the Gentile land, but over a lot of the known world. The gospel that was spoken in just those little places was made known to so many people. And you know, when you think of all the little conversations that have taken place in homes or in various places over the centuries, there's been billions of little conversations. We've all had little conversations probably today in our homes with other people. But they're long gone. Like in 100 years, no one's going to be reading about what the Mitchells spoke about on Sunday, da 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 da, you know, whoopee-doo. It's gone. But here we have the words that Christ spoke to his disciples still living on. That's a testimony. We can praise the Lord that Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And we can praise the Lord that the things that the disciples spoke in private were also preached on the housetops and did prevail and has been prevailing since that time and has even come to us and found us. We heard the gospel news. We heard about what God had to do for us. It has continued to prevail over all those years. And I believe that's what Jesus was telling them there in verse 3. "Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." And that's exactly what happened. Know that this truth that the disciples preached also exposed the error of the Pharisees. When the truth of God is made known, when the truth of God was made known, the people could see the errors of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees' mask of hypocrisy was exposed. And when that happened, well, then they reacted very similar to how most people react when they are in error, and that is they retaliated against the disciples. And so the disciples suffered persecution as they proclaimed the truth. And in verses 4 and 5, when you add what we read here with what we see in and the context over in Matthew chapter 10, what we see here is Jesus is preparing them for this persecution to come. We read in verses 4 and 5 this, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body." Okay? When you start proclaiming the truth, things are going to happen. "But be not afraid of them that kill the body." I'll say it. and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, some people say that's the devil, but that's not the devil at all. That's Christ himself. He is the judge. He is the one that casts those people into the lake of fire. If we are to fear anyone in this world, it should be one that can, yes, kill the body, but after that has power to cast into hell. That is God himself. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. I want you to understand, you don't fear these people when they persecute you. You fear me. And I believe here these verses show us what happens when the truth is preached. Error is exposed, and then error retaliates. That's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus. He was the truth, and his life and his words, he exposed the Pharisees to everyone. And when they saw Jesus Christ and his life, and when they compared that to the Pharisees, they could see that they were evil and wrong. And that was exactly what was going to happen to the disciples as well. And that's why Jesus wanted to prepare them for this. You know, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 10, which is really a parallel passage to the one in Luke chapter 12, we see what Jesus says. In verse 22 we start. It says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which shall kill the body, but after not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Here we see the context. Jesus just said, hey, when you go out and preach the truth, you're going to be persecuted. They're going to hate you just like they hate me. And that's why he says, but I don't want you to fear these ones. I want you to fear God instead. And as they went out, they were persecuted just as Jesus said. You know, I was thinking it would probably be good to have a couple of examples of that. If you feel like flicking through Acts, there are a couple of verses we could look at. In Acts chapter 5, these were the disciples in verse 27, Acts 5:27. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. And God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them and obey them." And we know that afterwards they beat the disciples and sent them away. You know, we see in chapter 7, when it comes to Stephen, it says in verse 1, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan." And then he goes on to give that wonderful speech. And we learn over in verse 54, it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being filled of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And if we would turn over to Acts chapter 12, we read about how, or we won't read it, but we read how Herod took out James and beheaded him, the first disciple to be put to death. And so just as Christ said, just as with Christ, so too the disciples were persecuted when they preached the truth. Because it exposed man's sin. And so what Jesus does is he warns them and encourages them not to fear the persecution that was going to come. Even though they may be able to kill the body, he explains they can't touch your soul. I think that's good to remember for us even today. You know, that when the truth is spoken, those that are in darkness are generally going to retaliate in some way. We sometimes get a little bit taken back by that or surprised when that happens. And we forget that that's what Jesus said is going to happen. Some people aren't wanting to hear what we have to tell them. Some people are going to try and cover up their sin. Some people are going to refuse to listen. Other people are going to try and shut us up in one way or another. People are going to respond in these ways because, as we're told in John, they don't like the light because men prefer darkness. They would prefer to not see the state that they are in. And that's why when you speak about Jesus Christ at school, generally you're going to be teased. When you witness at work, you generally are going to be targeted with some type of criticism. When you preach the truth in a church, those churches in darkness aren't going to like it. That's when you speak to your family about Christ. They're not going to want to hear it. And often they're going to retaliate. You know, that's why when you go door knocking, people generally aren't going to receive you with gladness. And it's not because they hate us, they hate what we tell them, because it exposes their sin. And that's why we're told in Timothy, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's because, not because we're just annoying people. It will be because of the truth that we portray, and people don't like to see that. And so when we speak the truth, persecution generally will come. That's what Jesus said. Now, the sad thing is, and I think we would all have to agree with this, even though Jesus said that's the reaction that will come, it's people's reaction that generally keeps us from speaking the truth, isn't it? You know, we fear, even when Jesus said not to. I think we all would be honest to say we fear being ridiculed by our peers, when you're at school or if you're at work. You fear the angry reaction that you would have from your family members. And the reality of their reaction is usually the reason why we keep quiet. We fear when Jesus said not to. And, you know, when it comes to door knocking, you know, everyone goes, ooh, door knocking. Generally, people don't go door knocking anymore because they say that it doesn't work. But I think if we're all honest with ourselves, the reason why we don't go door knocking is we're afraid of what we're going to meet on the other side of the door. That's the real reason. The reason why we don't speak to our family members when the opportunity arises is because we fear what they're going to say to us more than anything else. The times when we don't speak up and witness when we should is generally because we fear what people may say. Jesus says, be not afraid. But isn't that the case so often? Where he says we ought to fear him rather than men. And that's what we read in when it came to the disciples. Praise God that Peter spoke up at that time. He had learnt the lesson. He said, we ought to fear God rather than men. And we can praise the Lord for Peter who did that. And I guess he learned his lesson after the first time when he denied the Lord. And that night before he was crucified and he wasn't going to do that ever again. And we can praise the Lord that that's what the other disciples decided to do as well. And brethren, that's what Christ calls all of us to do. Speak when those opportunities arise and not fear man, but fear God. And he says there, as we see, doing so doesn't, the Lord doesn't promise that our life will be kept. You know, I think sometimes can be very, some people can be very vague or ignorant that if I'm in the Lord's will, nothing's ever bad is going to happen to me. Well, Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body. He's not saying, oh, don't fear because they can't kill you. No, he says, don't fear them that will kill the body. No, fear me. Obey me more. That's the most important. And Stephen learnt that lesson. He was stoned to death. James, one of the disciples, learnt that lesson. Peter, later on in his life, learnt that lesson. Paul learnt that lesson, that speaking the truth will at times bring persecution and even death. But what Jesus does go on to say or show us is, even when troubles and terrible things happen, I want you to understand one thing. You're not forgotten by me. These things only happen because I allow it, because you are precious to me. Because he goes on in verse 6 and says this, after he tells them to fear him, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He gives them a word of encouragement. He lets them know that, hey, even though it may be fearful, they may not treat you well, I want you to understand that you are of great value to me. And that's a blessing to know. He tells them that God is aware of what happens to every sparrow, and so surely he would be aware of what happens to the disciples. In fact, he shows us here that the Lord has more interest in us than we have of ourselves. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to count how many hairs on the head you have. We're not really that interested, are we? But God is that interested. I guess we don't take count on how many hairs have fallen out of our head today. God is aware of it. He doesn't have to be aware of it. I believe he chooses to be aware of it. That's the interest that he shows in us. Shows that he shows more interest in us than what we do of ourselves. I think he proves that by the fact that we are willing to foolishly do things that he knows will hurt us. And he's more interested in stopping us from doing things that are going to hurt us than so often we are. He says, you go down that path of sin, it's going to ruin your marriage, ruin your life. He will do everything to stop us while we, thinking that we, surely God doesn't love me much, foolishly go down that path and seek to hurt us where he loves us enough to try and stop us. Jesus shows us here that we are very precious to him. And so he tells us when persecution does come, as we obey him and speak the truth, we can be sure that he knows about it. And as we learn from other scriptures, especially Job and others, he has first allowed it to happen. For a reason that we may not even know until we get the glory. But he's allowed it for a purpose. And we can trust in that. And so Jesus gives his disciples, and I believe we can use that for ourselves, a word of encouragement and exhortation. That the word of God will prevail, we can be sure of that. People will seek to persecute us as we preach the word, but we are to fear God more, knowing that he loves us in a way that we cannot truly understand. And thus, that should encourage us to continue to obey him. And so that's a little lesson from Luke chapter 12. Let's pray. Father, we know that it will not be to glory that we understand how much you truly do love us. I ask that we would grow in that knowledge of you up until that time. And that, Lord, we will be those channels of blessing that you seek each disciple to be for you upon this earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.